Good morning, church family. We're so excited that you are joining us on the online campus today, wherever you are. The beauty of the online campus, you kind of get to do it in a way that matches where you're at. For me last week, kind of crazy. My wife had it on the phone, but we were playing it through the speakers. We were actually driving in the car back from a trip we'd taken. And so, yeah, the beauty of the online campus, you can take it anywhere with you. It's in your pocket, and you get to kind of lean in when it makes sense to you. So good morning. Glad you're here. We're super excited for today. But before we dive into what we're going to today, I'd love to just slow down and kind of catch us up as a church family. Where are we at? What's going on? How does this work? Some of you are asking, are we doing this forever? What happens from here? Like, some of you are love this. Some of you are, I'm barely hanging on. Can we get an idea of where we're heading? And what I want to do is I want to encourage you that we do have an idea with the plan right now, if we could call it a game plan, right? Because the beauty of a game plan, you're in the middle of it and you need to make a switch. With a game plan, you can. And so think of this like a game plan, but the first part of the game plan is we are looking for August 16th to have a plan in place for the entire fall. And so what that means is when we're looking at re-entry dates, when we're looking at what we're going to do as a church family and how ministry is going to look, we're looking at August 16th kind of being that moment where we roll out our fall plan that will take us all the way through Christmas. The idea behind it is that then we can plan as a church family how to lean in and how to move forward and all that good stuff. So that's coming. That's the first part of the game plan. Until then, because now you're going, well, that's still a few weeks away. What about in the meantime? Until then, we're going to continue everything we're doing. So we're going to continue. I don't know if you've heard about the food shares, but on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we are out in community. We are joined up with some phenomenal partners, and we're able to be a part of getting food into people's hands through the food share. You can serve that way. You can be a part of that. You can pray for that event. Those are Tuesdays, Thursdays. We also have morning coffees that will continue on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can jump on those at 10 a.m. And you can just be encouraged from the word and people and community. That's right there on the same platform you're on today. And you can just hit subscribe, and those will naturally show up for you even as a notification. And we're going to continue with our midweek. We're going to continue with our midweek until then. And so midweek is designed to take this conversation we're having and actually push it further for us. And then there's also, if you're sitting there, and you need to hear me, this is important. If you're sitting there and you're going, man, I really just miss worshiping in person. What I mean by that is I miss being where the music's live and there's other people around and I can hear them singing. Then you just heard about our Thursday night service on the lawn. Thursday night behind H1 on the lawn. We have this service that you have access to. And so if that's you that you're going, I'm just craving really worshiping in person, then you need to know that you can be a part of that. There was a number given that you can go back and you can find it online, but it's real simple. You just go to that number and you'll put in RSVP and you can go ahead. It's actually 928-218-2939. There you go. So it's real easy. You can do it right from your couch. But here's the thing. If that's you, I want to encourage you that if you are one of the people that are struggling in this season because you want to be with people and you want to worship with people, I want to invite you to step into that, because we're going to continue that until, like I said, August 16th, we'll roll out a game plan with all the details of what it looks like. But in the meantime, all those things are still going on. The online campus on the weekend, two services, you can still be a part of that. That's still happening. And so those things are happening. You can find more information online. You can sign up online for update text and all that good stuff. And you can be connected through those ways. But we really, as we lean into the fall, hear me well. We want to get a game plan in place that you can count on, that we can begin to build around and step into together as a church family, that we can move forward together in this season as we go out. And that's kind of really, honestly, what I want to talk about today. This message is born deep from inside of me. So if it feels like you got to fight to stay with me at times, it may be because for me, there's a lot of my own journey caught up in this message today. That I my family and I, like I said, we were on a trip and we were in California, and we were just there to enjoy family and get some downtime and enjoy the beach. And we love to eat out when we're there. And my daughter has a favorite chicken and waffles place that she likes to go to in Huntington Beach. And we pull in first day. In fact, we drive straight from here, straight there. We get out of the car, finally find parking places because it's California. Finally find a parking place. We get there, park, walk down. And as we get there, it's closed. And there is indoor seating and there is outdoor seating at this particular place. Not even the outdoor seating, nothing is open in this place. And instantly, it's one of those like, another letdown, right? And so then we find another place to eat and we, you know, you've got to have a mask. And so we put our mask on and I just want to say something about masks real quick, you guys. Like, I know there's a lot of drama wrapped around masks, and I know there's a lot of political stances, and I know that there's just a lot going on. But can I encourage you with the words of Jesus that with the mask is a way we can love one another? And so for me, it is an act of love to wear my mask when I'm out in public. Do I like it? I don't like it. Do I enjoy it? No. But it's something I can tangibly do for another human being. Does it protect? It doesn't even protect me, is what they tell us, right? And I get there's all kinds of information about that, and I don't want to get into the details of that. I just want to challenge you with, in this season, what can we do to love another human being? And masks is a way we can do that. So I put on my mask, and we're walking around, and we finally find a place to eat, and we didn't finally, it was our second place, but we get there, and wouldn't you know it, they're open for food and you can sit outside in their patio area, but their bathrooms are closed. So I'm like, that's no big deal. We'll just go across the street. My daughter needed to go to the restroom. So we go across the street and their bathrooms are closed. We must have gone to maybe 3, 4, 5 different places. All of the restrooms were closed. And so finally we found a restaurant that had their restrooms open. She was able to use it. But again, as we're going through, it's this irritation, this, like again, here we go again type feeling. You know, you couple that with, we went shopping one day and my daughter has a favorite store. And so we go to her favorite store and wouldn't you know, there's a line. I mean, it's like Disneyland to get into a store. And again, standing in line and it's kind of warm and we don't normally do this and things are kind of, and it's another, Couple that with while we're on vacation and, you know, we get an email from the schools asking us to make a choice about what we're going to do with our kids. And now again, it's just this other reminder of what's going on and it's not what we expected and things are changing again. And I just found my soul like hitting this point of, again, another disappointment, another thing that I thought would go this way, an expectation that went here. And if we're not careful, we'll get stuck in a trap. We'll get stuck in this trap of we go into despair and it's, I can't do this anymore. And we lose it. I can't handle this. I can't go through this. I can't put up with another. And we get kind of angry and ragey. That's one of the areas we get, the danger we get trapped in. Or there's the danger of we fall into, you know, this idea that if we have where we are, everything's fine, right? Everything's good. That on one extreme, we're going, can't do this anymore. On the other extreme, we're going, man, everything's good. I can put up with this. And God took me on a journey this past week while I was away. And the journey surprised my soul because it led me to a beautiful practice. And if you would this morning, I would love to lead you into a beautiful practice. And in fact, we catch Jesus stepping into this practice. If you have a Bible, we're in Luke 19. But in Luke 19, in verse 37, because we don't want to get stuck, right? We don't want to end up in where we're stuck in despair. And we don't want to get stuck in this other place of denial. And with Jesus, he steps in this moment in verse 37, and he's coming in the triumphal entry. He's on the donkey. This is supposed to be a moment of celebration, right? And it says, when he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but is now hidden from your eyes, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jesus, in this moment, is coming into the city. And when he sees the city, now catch it, because there's an entire story around this. And there's an entire like movement of people. And the temperature of the people is not the temperature of what Jesus is. The temperature of the people is rejoicing and joyful. You got the Pharisees who are cynical. And in this moment, you've got Jesus who he sees the city and what should be a moment where he's celebrating. "Hey, I'm here. People are on my side. They're cheering." And in that moment, he actually changes and chooses to weep. And then we get this understanding of why. He sees what could have been, but he knows what is actually going to be. And here's the beautiful thing of this. This what Jesus is doing in this moment is he is lamenting. He is lamenting what is in front of him, and he's going, "I'm lamenting what could be." He's disappointed, if you like. It's a moment that could have been so much different. And in this moment, he's now lamenting, and it comes out through these deep emotions. It comes out through this deep well of emotion. And he begins to weep. This is one of the three places we find Jesus weeping. And he's weeping for what could have been. He's lamenting what could have been. And over the past week, one of the things that God's kind of led me into as a practice is lament. Maybe think of lament this way, that it's an honest prayer. That lament is an honest prayer that leads us to faith, to trust. It's an honest prayer that leads us to trust. And if you begin to break that down, it begins with honest. And there's a specific movement through lamenting. And for me, one of the things that sitting in those moments going, "Why do I feel the way I do?" And actually doing the hard work of lamenting, the hard work of being honest with these emotions that are inside of me. I over this past week, one of the things that I've just kind of leaned into is going, I think the struggles that we're facing as a church, and when I say church, I mean our church family, but I also mean the churches at large, is our inability to lament. That we're either stuck in despair or denial. that we're either stuck in, I can't do this, or everything's fine. And in actuality, what we need to do is take a practice from the scriptures. One that in the book of Psalms, a third of the Psalms are laments. This practice is all over the scriptures. Jesus here is sitting in the moment and owning the emotion and responding in expression. And so lament for us is this honest prayer that leads us to trust. There's a psalm, Psalm 13. Psalm 13 captures kind of the process of lament, if you like, and in the practice of lament. And in Psalm 13, and in verse 1, it says, you get the psalmist crying out. You get David crying out saying, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" Okay, hang on, because we got to step back to get the first part of the process of lament. If we're going to have a practice of lament in our life, David has sat with the emotions that he has. David has sat with these things that have come at him and how they've stirred him. And when he's held them and when he's analyzed and held the weight of them, what you begin to get from David here then is you get what's coming out as he's expressing. So he begins by sitting in the emotions, sitting in the reality, sitting in what he feels, sitting in the moment and how it's impacted him. And then he begins to just lean into those. He begins to reach into the dark spaces. He begins to step in and say, through expression then, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart, sorrow in my soul? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" So the first part of this practice is that I actually sit and I'm honest. That's the honest part of the prayer, is that I'm honest with how I'm processing, how this has impacted me. I mean, we could be real tangible today. You may be frustrated with church. You may be frustrated with us. You may be frustrated with those you're sitting around. And when you, there's a couple of things that go along with that, right? That if we don't take the time to go, why am I frustrated? Why am I downcast? Why am I in the space that I am? Then what lament says is you take that honesty and you turn it into prayer. You turn it into an expression towards. So it's an expression towards God. And then it turns into an asking. Verse 3, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. Give me understanding, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." So it begins with this sitting in honesty of the emotion, and then it moves to expression towards God. And then it kind of boils to the point of asking. There's questions involved. There's discovery involved. And then coming out of that, it says, "But I trust," verse 5, "but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." Here's the beautiful part about lament. Lament will always lead you, the practice of lament will always lead you into honesty that finds an expression towards God, that then moves to this asking, this pleading with God, that then moves to trust. The goal of lament is to move you to a greater trust of God. And then there's one last verse in here that says, "I will sing," verse 6, "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." See, the process of lament has moved him from just expression of emotion It's moved him through pleading. It's moved him to trust that he sees God in a way, that he catches a glimpse that God has this unfailing love. And then in the midst of that, he goes, I will sing the Lord's praise. There's a response. Trust brings out a response. You see, here's what's fascinating. If you don't lament, often what happens is when we're in despair and denial, everything's fine, just keep doing everything, don't process anything, sooner or later, it will come out. There will be a response. And if I'm on the other side, if I can't do this anymore, sooner or later, that response will lead you into choices that move you away from what you really want. And what the beautiful part of this lament is you sit in it and you gain this fresh glimpse and trust of who God is, it moves you in a mighty way. It moves you to respond to his goodness, to his beauty, to who he is. I was telling you that for me, it's been this journey of analyzing and I noticed a pattern in me before we went on vacation. And the pattern was kind of wrapped around this frustration at home, that I would just have this like angst inside of me, this shortness, this almost bitterness. And on my vacation, of all places to spend my entire vacation reading, God took me to Lamentations, which when I started reading, I was like, Lord, I don't know, man, Lamentations. It's not a road you cross very often. And as I began to lean into Lamentations, I began to discover, as I sat with the emotion inside of me and grieved the way I've been behaving, grieved some of the, before the Lord, just saying, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to feel this way. And the Lord pushed me back in to sit in it and find the honesty to bring it out. And as I began to sit with it and I began to ask the Lord, and here's what he began to reveal. As I was struggling, I was lamenting my older girls and my daughter's fiance being at the house. Which that sounds, just even to say that sounds awful, because it sounds like I don't want them there. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But what I was actually lamenting is the way it happened, we had no choice. And I still hadn't reconciled those emotions from months ago when this all first happened. I hadn't taken the time to sit in those emotions and go, why is my soul so stirred up and tight? And what I started to discover was I was grieving the rhythm that I had prior to them coming home. Because when they came home, everything changed, and it should. Time with the littles changed. Rhythms that Cindy and I had put in place changed. Time needed to be devoted into relationships. Now all of a sudden, gatherings at dinner were different. And you guys, you got to hear me well. I'm not in angst over what is happening. I love the time that we're getting. It's so special and unique. I'm not blind to how unique it is. But what is causing the frustration in me is a longing for something that doesn't exist anymore. For something that had changed. And I had failed to change because my heart still was longing for this. And what God was saying, I need to move you to what is here. Church, I think this is our story. I think we need to do the hard work of lamenting, because God has so much beauty for us to do and be a part of on the planet today. We're so stuck in, we want to go back and things need to be this way. And I'm frustrated and I'm worked up. And you meet people and you can just tell they're in angst because they want school to go back to the way it was. They want the grocery store to go back. I don't want to wear a mask when I go somewhere. And you can just feel everybody so tight. And maybe what we need is the practice of lament this week. That we actually sit in the emotion and go, what is it in me that I need to lament doesn't exist anymore. That I need to take to God. You don't mean you have to like it. Read the Psalms. Doesn't mean they liked it. But then stepping in and going, God, this is going to lead me. This process is going to lead me to greater trust in you. It's relieved so much pressure in my life, lamenting over the past week, over many, many, many things. Even what I found between what I was saying at the start of, you know, going in this place and it not having a bathroom and going in, and they sound like little things, but they build up and they create traps for us. But we were designed to be holistic, connected to our soul and our spirit. And lament is a gift from Almighty God. You see, we've talked about the way our world's changing, but for some of you, it's not the world changed. It's that you lost loved ones recently. My encouragement is lament is for you. It's okay to go in and sit in those emotions. It's okay to not want to celebrate today. It's okay to step into that moment and those deep, deep felt hurts and begin to an honest prayer, an honest expression birthed out of them towards God. Knowing that He will lead you, it will lead you. He will use it to build trust. That today, one last verse, your celebration may be like the author of Lamentations. That if you've ever read Lamentations, you know, like the front part is all, it's only five chapters. The front part is just doom and gloom. The back part is doom and gloom. It's honest expression of angst and hurt and pain and suffering and loss. And in the middle, there's these beautiful verses. Listen to the tone that this expression comes out of in verse 20. I well remember them. He's just talked about all the ways he's been oppressed and beat down. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. My soul is downcast. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Some say mercies, right? They are new. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. I want you to know something. Nothing has changed in the physical circumstances. The only thing has changed is that there has been a journey within the soul of the author that captures within this journey some honest expression that is given to God. And what comes out of it is this beautiful trust that leads to a different response. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what your journey's been. I don't know what your struggle, I don't know what the hurt, but can I encourage us as a church today that this week, could we practice the art of lament? Can we practice getting moments to sit in the emotions and the weight and the realities and the disappointments and the loss and the suffering and the frustrations, to sit long enough that we could gain words of expression? Words to express to God how we're really doing. Remember, a third of the Psalms or more are laments. It's common in Scripture to be honest with God out of raw emotion of your soul. And then to step into that and plead with God. Whatever your pleading is, whatever your need is, to plead with him, knowing that it's going to lead you to build trust, that you're going to see a character, part of his nature, his beauty. Why? That you could respond and step forward in your journey. I love this. I love this. This passage has become dear to me over the past week, because his mercies are new every morning. As faithfully as the sun rises are his mercies to you and me. And you need to know something today. Dawn is coming. Through the process, the art, the practice of lament, dawn is coming. Church family, this week, let's lean in. Let's step in together. May you find the beauty in the art of lament. And so, God, we come before you this morning. We're so grateful for everything you do, everything you have given. God, this beautiful book of Lamentations that declares, God, your love does not fail. God, I pray over the church family. I pray over anyone listening to this anywhere in the country and beyond. I pray that they are encouraged today. I pray that they are inspired today to, God, sit and be real and raw and honest and express it to you, knowing that it will lead them to trust. God, that we would take time, that we wouldn't jump from one thing to the next. Would you help our church family do this well this week? We thank you for Jesus, who makes all things new. We thank you for salvation that is only found in Jesus alone. God, we thank you that you have rescued us and put our feet on different standings as your kids. And so, God, we just simply say thank you for loving us today. It's in your name, everybody said, amen.